Blog Talk Radio.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. Oh, I'm going to...
Hello, everybody. God bless you today. This is Susan Puzio. And I want to welcome you to the Prophetic News radio broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. And we're also heard on the Rapture Ready Radio Network, which is the network of our sister Jackie Elnor. And we have a YouTube channel. And I noticed today that a lot of the so-called mega pastors, there they were on lowly YouTube because their mega churches were empty, except for a few people that they invited. Joel Osteen said, well, his family was there and his staff, because they can't have more than 500 people in the building anyway in Texas, so... Anyway, they don't have their mega church. How God works in mysterious ways, right? His wonders to perform. So who would ever think that something like this would happen? But God says that he will bring you down when you get so puffed up with yourself and you trust in uncertain riches and you trust in those tithes and offerings that coming in every Sunday to pay your debts that you made. And then you expect the congregants to pay your debts so you can live large and have a large ministry. But how God can take you down? How God can take you down? And then what's going to happen? Now, what's going to happen? Because we've been talking about this for years, about how you have to run your ministry by faith. And not by begging, not by making debts and going into building programs that you have to take these huge mortgages for. And then you can't, if you have a crisis for 1 or 2 weeks, and who knows how long this thing is going to go on where people aren't going to be able to assemble in these large buildings. So that's going to put a hurting on them, but they refuse to obey God. And they refuse to trust in God. They trust in their uncertain riches. And they trusted in that money coming in every week. And the money's not going to come in every week like it was, because they can't pass the basket around there. And they can't manipulate you and beg you. And they're going to be, let me tell you something, though. There's going to be a lot of begging going on. They're going to be begging and crying. Ooh. But, I don't feel sorry for them. I don't, because if you're going to build a ministry, first of all, build it by faith. Don't beg people. Don't bang people over the head with this 10% stuff and seed sowing and all that. And then you don't learn how to trust God for your daily bread. Well, you're gonna get yourself into trouble. God said you were gonna get yourself into trouble, because whatever is not of faith is sin. So and God said don't trust in uncertain riches, because you can have one thing. Just think. Now, I didn't realize this that when the stock market starts crashing, which it did for a couple of days, and people had 401ks, and most of those are based on the stock market, you can be wiped out. You can lose half of your money or a third of your money just like that in a day. So you never know what's going to happen. Whoever expected this thing to happen, this is like something right out of the book of Revelation. And we hear about these things and we read the Bible, we know the Bible is true, but wow, when it's right there in front of you, this global pandemic that seemed to come out of nowhere, and it's only the beginning. It's only the beginning of things that are going to happen that the Bible predicts. God starts pouring out his wrath. As much as they want to talk about God as a God of mercy and a God of love, which he is, he's also going to pour out his wrath in the last days. And so read the book of Revelation. It's very sobering, very, very sobering, and it's very appropriate to what's happening today, because I went out yesterday morning. I wanted to run some errands, so I said, I'll go out early. And I left the house probably about 7 in the morning. And I thought, well, I'll be able to avoid some crowds. If there are crowds, who knows if people are even going to be coming out like they were. But so you could actually feel like the fear in the air. And if somebody coughed, you look at the person like, what are you doing out? Don't be coughing around me. And so I go to the Walgreens and I'm looking for gloves, disposable gloves, which I use a lot around the house anyway. So they were completely wiped out. I had heard that there was going to be a run on disposable gloves. Well, it's true. There wasn't one box there. And then when I went over to the grocery store, there wasn't any there either. And so you could just sense the difference of how people were behaving, how people didn't want to stand too close to each other in the checkout line, and how the people that wanted to carry your groceries out, they were worried about the shopping carts, which, yeah, they have to touch those things all day. So it's totally changed so many things. And then I said, well, I'll go to the Walgreens that's near my house and I'll stop in there. Well, it's a Saturday, so usually the Walgreens is going to be busy. Well, there's a sign on the door that says we're closed. Closed? I'm like, until tomorrow. I don't know if they even ever opened today, because I thought it was very weird that it was closed. Why is it closed? What happened in there? Is somebody sick? Are they disinfecting the place or what? So that was weird. But here this thing is hit all over the world. And then some people try to make light of it, like, well, you know, more people died of the flu. Well, I never remember a flu where the people had to go into quarantine like they have to now. And that when you're treated in the hospital, they have to wear a hazmat suit. No, it's not. You can't compare it to the flu. If anybody's had the flu, forget about it. Sometimes you feel like you want to die. And this is 10 times worse than that. So, they were even saying that it could damage your lungs after a while, because it's a form of pneumonia. So nobody wants to catch it. And of course, I believe Jesus is a healer. I believe in divine healing, but people don't always get healed. Nobody has been able to stop cancer. No. So they're looking at some videos today of some of these ministries, and they're praying how they're going to stop this coronavirus. Well, they haven't stopped the common cold. So things are going to happen to people. I don't understand why. And sometimes you say, well, when I get up to heaven, maybe I'll ask Jesus. Probably when we get up there, we won't care anymore about what happened down here. But I don't understand everything. And yeah, you don't. Who wants to be sick? But so I can't say just because we pray that God is going to protect us from coronavirus. I don't know. Yeah, we can pray and we can ask God to protect us, but you still have to be careful and you still have to be cautious, because you don't know who has this thing people don't know they have it. They could have it up to 5 days. And so that's the other dangerous thing about it. And then it can live in the air for 36 hours. So even if you walk by somebody that coughed, if somebody coughed and they had coronavirus, for 36 hours, that thing lives in the air. So it's weird and it's dangerous. So it's kind of changed, it probably changed things forever. And I noticed that when I was watching the Kenneth Copeland service, because he has a church in Dallas, Eagle Mountain Church, and supposedly he had, I just caught it briefly, a friend of mine was telling me about it. It was on Facebook or something the other night. Kenneth Copeland was talking about the coronavirus. But I noticed today at his church that they didn't lay hands on anybody. They didn't have any laying on of hands over there. So they can brag all they want about how they're going to pray and they're going to defeat coronavirus. But they weren't touching anybody. And so I noticed over at Paula White's church today, nobody was touching anybody over there as far as they had no laying on of hand service. They didn't pray for the sick. They didn't tell everybody to hold hands, hold your neighbor's hand, give your neighbor a hug and hug them so tight. So nobody was hugging and nobody was holding hands. There was no laying on of hand services. Even the Bethel churches that are so big on telling God what to do, they canceled their services and they even closed down their healing rooms. Now they have these rooms where people can come and they can be healed. You can be healed of almost everything except coronavirus. Because so if they really believe it, why would they close down their healing rooms? What do they have to be afraid of? They don't really believe it either. Because anybody that's lived and even lived a Christian life, we know that Christians suffer sometimes. We know that Christians get sick and they die. And so these things happen in life. And so no matter how much they confess and decree and declare and whatever, They're closing down their healing rooms and they probably didn't lay hands on anybody today in their churches either, the ones that were open, because most churches didn't even have services today. I noticed that Rob Parsley's place had to close down over there. So he had his worship team there, which most of the churches, I guess they told their worship teams they better show up, which probably some of them didn't even want to show up either, because, like I said, you don't know who's sick, who has this thing, who you want to be around, and you have to take precautions, especially if you're older. Like, they've shut down the nursing homes. They won't, two of my friend and my cousin, they can't go visit their loved ones in the nursing home for a month because they won't allow anybody in. So it's like nothing we've ever seen before. And I believe for the false prophets and the false teachers, the money changers, the blasphemers, it's a warning to them that they better straighten up, because all that they've built on sinking sand and all that they built on scamming people, it can all come down in one day. It'll all be over. It'll all be over. All those riches that you trusted in and all that money that you were stealing from God's people to build your little kingdom. Well, your little kingdom can come crashing down in one day. Imagine there was nobody really that was attending most churches in this country, most of these mega churches. The seats were empty, except for the few people that they coerced into coming in. So here's some of the headlines about this coronavirus. that they're talking about mobilizing the military in New York State. There's also, a cautionary tale from Italy, because supposedly I think the prime minister or somebody like that from Italy was, when they weren't taking this thing seriously, and they were telling people, he was telling people, oh, when you see a Chinese person walking down the street, give him a hug. Yeah, but now there's 12,000 bodies stacked up that they don't even have room in the mortuaries for all the bodies. And I think there was something like 18,000 people that were infected. They've basically closed down the whole country. So they were making light of it. Well, you can't make light of it. You can't make light of it. So, and then there was also people that were around the president that tested positive. I think one of the aides for the Brazilian president, and then someone at the White House had, I think, tested positive, or an aide or somebody like that. Anyway, and then I hear President Trump saying, well, I'm still going to have to shake people's hands. Well, you know, you can't shake people's hands because you don't know who has this thing. Here he was shaking the Brazilian prime minister's hand, and then his aide had coronavirus, and they were at a dinner at Mar-a-Lago. So you can't, you just can't be stupid. And even when he's having a briefing, he had some kind of a briefing, I think, yesterday or the day before in the Rose Garden. And then he's still shaking people's hands there. And I'm like, after they tell people, don't shake hands, I'm like, what is wrong with you? You know, I mean, to make matters worse, Paula White was at the White House the other day. Paula White was at the White House, and guess what she was doing at the White House? Guess what she was doing? She was advising the president. Now, we remember what happened when Saul took advice from the witch at Endor. It didn't end very well. What happened to Ahab? What happened to Ahab when he was taking advice from Jezebel? What happened? So there's Paula bragging today that he is the spiritual advisor and the pastor to the president of the United States. Now, you can't make it up. This you cannot make up. And she was also there the other day advising him about the church. What church is she talking about? Because she's not talking about the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, which she knows nothing about. What church is she talking about that she was advising the president of the United States of America? Now, I know it's hard to believe, people. Hard to believe. But anyway, here's Paula.
With our president and with this nation this week, and today is National Day of Prayer that our president has called for prayer, and today we are going to preach. I've got a word from the Lord, and we are going to pray. And you guys don't like to sit next to each other anyway, so we don't have a problem with social distancing. Amen. So we know the common practice stuff. Let me just assure you as a pastor a few things while you remain standing. We have done an abundance of caution. We always do, but we make sure that we disinfect everything from microphones to pulpits to soundboards to all the toys. Even between services, we do that. We've taken extra precaution and make sure that we do everything. And this is a crisis that is global, and we'll talk about this in some day, a pandemic, they call it now. But I assure you, we will get through this. Amen. And we are so grateful for our president calling a National Day of Prayer today. I believe We thank God for the medical people of CDC, World Health Organization, the task team that has been put together already, the expeditious progress that we are seeing, I believe is going to save many lives and help many, many people, and we are so thankful for that. We look back in over history, when you look at things and you see like, boy, there were plagues back in 1300 that killed 2/3 of the world's population, and there were things that have done, and it can be quite frightening, and I'm going to talk to you about some of that, the things that people deal with, that we are so grateful for the technology, the advances, the day that we live in. We're grateful for all of our medical and first responders, our nurses, our doctors, our National Guard, our governors, our mayors, our county officials, everyone. And just, you know, the heart of good people. We have good people, and I'm especially thankful for the church because the church is truly, to me, it's not a place that is a museum for the saints. It's a hospital for the sinner. It's for the hurting. And every week we know what it is to minister to people with sick spirits and sick souls. And what I mean is we've all, you know, had a sick spirit at one time. We all were sinners, and only by the finished work of Jesus Christ. But also, throughout life, we just get sick in our souls sometime, and so we are continual ministers. Pastor Todd and I will be laying out and sharing more of some of the things that we will be doing as a ministry. We want to get everything in order because there's a lot of difference. You know, we're on it day by day, but one of the things that I was able to do, and I'm very grateful, though a lot of people don't understand sometimes an assignment on your life, I want you to know what God's called you to do, God has called you to do. And maybe some of your family members won't understand it, or your friends won't understand it, or people might not know, like, well, why would you do that? Or why would you move there? Or why would you go here? Or why would you go into full-time ministry? But when God calls you to do something, you have to be obedient to the Lord. And God will never call you outside of His Word or out of the confines of your spiritual authority. And there are many things that you know that you're not eating pizza. You know that it's God. Amen? You know that God does things within a certain order. And many of you know that my call is to be spiritual advisor and pastor to our president. I was able to brief him on Thursday. And I thank God for the Holy Spirit, because I woke up that morning, the Lord said, change your flight. And had I not changed my flight, I would have left earlier. And so I took, I think, 10:50 out. And then also that morning, I was able, I looked at a schedule and felt the Holy Spirit said, go in at this time. And I was so very grateful to be able to brief him and be a part of what the church is doing, because when he is a civil leader at the highest point in the land, that is the president. So we have presidents, governors, mayors, right? Or county mayors. We were saying that a lot of our pastors need civic lessons. Just don't, because people are like, what do I do? And just how the order of things happen in this land. And so when civil leaders call for something, we know who takes up the mantle, and that is the priest. And we are all priests according to the New Testament. And so this is not the time that the church backs down. This is the time for the church's finest hour to arise, because in crisis time, it is the church that is the voice. It is the church that has answers. It is the church. And we believe that for even praying for people that maybe not have a relationship with God, because wisdom, which is ultimately needed, does not come from intellect or come from degrees. Those are very important things. I was raised in a family that strongly advocated education. But wisdom comes from the fear of the Lord. And it is the fear of the Lord that is the beginning of wisdom. And understanding is to depart from evil. And so it is only through the righteousness of God, those that are in right standing, that can bring understanding. So the sons of Issachar understood the times and knew to tell Israel what to do. So we need, amen, saints that have understanding and wisdom. Can somebody say amen? Well, just before I get into the word and into the proclamation, we love to honor God because that's what we do. We're in covenant with God. And in covenant with God, one of the ways that we worship is to bring Him His tithe and our offering. And I'm going to ask everybody to get your tithe and offering, make your checks payable to City of Destiny. Let me tell you something. covenant is covenant, and I don't know how God does it, but he takes that 90% and makes it go so much further than that 10% ever would have gone. And the Bible clearly says throughout the word, outside of the love of God, he talks about stewardship and finances more than anything. So I want everybody to get an offering envelope. There is never pressure to give. We don't have to give. We get to give. We don't give to get. We, amen, get to give. Somebody say amen. For all of our online, we thank you so much. If you want to click on that screen or minimize there or go to City of Destiny, you can give. And thank you for being a generous partner and a giver and partner with this ministry, because we're continually doing great things. We feed between 600,000 to 1,000,000 pounds just in our local community. We're partnering with several great organizations to help be distribution during this time, and we'll talk to you more about that, especially as the plan is fully laid out, because we want to make sure that every T is crossed and every I is dotted. Amen? And so everything's going good. You ready to give? Shout yes. Amen. This is a giving ready congregation. Come on, let's bring this up and let's worship God with his tithe and our offering. Then I have a word from God, and this is really going to be a time.
Guess what, though? It's not his tithe. It's your tithe. And she says, and he talks about it more, just about more than anything throughout Scripture. Yeah, I don't know. I've read the Bible through. I don't remember God talking about finances like just about more than anything. No, I don't remember that at all. And so it's a pitiful day in our country when we have to pray for President Trump that he gets a new spiritual advisor. Because it's ridiculous that a woman like this, who a few weeks ago claimed, I don't know if they know, if anybody in the White House knows about her latest claim that she went to the throne room of God, that she actually, God actually took her up out of her body and she went to God's throne room, and she was in the throne room and she saw the face of God, even though it was blurry, and God spoke to her. So I don't know if she told President Trump that story. I doubt seriously that she mentioned that to him. But that's how they vet people over there at the White House. Pitiful, pitiful. Anyway, I thought it was interesting too when I was listening to T.D. Jakes this morning. Of course, he was preaching to an empty congregation. There was a few people there amening and trying to egg them on, because they love to do that over there at Jake's church, is to end up on the chairs and scream and shout whenever he says anything and that they think is so profound. But even Jakes, I mean, he was singing the blues a little bit today and saying something about, well, they're trying to shut us down. Well, they're not trying to shut you down. God shut you down. God shut you down. It's not the government. It's not anybody else. It's God shutting all these people down. And God's so merciful. It's a warning. Because looking at the book of Revelation this morning again and seeing what is yet to come upon the earth, this is just a little smack compared to what's coming. But anyway, let's listen to what Jakes had to say.
Hello, I'm Bishop T.D. Jakes, and I wanted an opportunity to address our audience personally and share with you, in the midst of this turbulence and upheaval that we're experiencing in our country and around the world, words of hope and encouragement and a little bit of instruction. The Department of Health and Human Services here in Dallas, Texas, has determined that they are not allowing legally 500 people or more to assemble in the same location. Needless to say, that takes us from being able to provide the services on Sunday morning in the way that we would like to provide them. I'd love for you to be in the service, to clap your hands and rejoice in the Lord, but that is not possible. I am so glad that I live in a time that technology affords us a way to stay connected. So if you have not taken advantage of the opportunity to download our app or to subscribe to our YouTube channel, now would be the time to do it, because we are still going to preach the gospel. We're just going to do it online. So I encourage you, go to YouTube channel, check me out, subscribe today, download the app so that you can be a part. We don't know how long this will last, but I will be ministering to you from week to week like I always have, even if you're watching it from your living room, your car, or your house. Do it right now, because I got a good one this Sunday. You don't want to miss it. Fire will change the way you present yourself. Fire will make you melt. Melting is humbling yourself. Fire will make you humble down. Fire will bring you down to your knees. It don't matter who got a big church now. Ah! Everybody got a little church. Fire! Fire! Never seen before. We are not dismayed by the wilderness. We are not troubled by the restrictions. You can stop us from coming, but you can't stop us from believing. We will find a way to preach the word. If we have to borrow a boat and thrust it out a little bit from land and preach it in Joe Pool Lake, oh, we'll find it. Ishana, we're the church. We're the church. We didn't start in sanctuary. We started preaching under trees. Started baptismal services in the wilderness. We're the church. Shut us down if we want to. You can shut us down, but you can never shut us down. They've been trying to shut us down for 2,000 years. They hung us. They beat us. They took swords and cut our heads off. They threw us into snake pits. They burned our cities and raped our women. And still the gospel walked on. If it is our turn in this generation to go through persecution, then so be it. Because there is a balm in Gilead that healeth the diseases. Be careful about shutting us down. I know we got health constraints. I get it. I understand the wisdom of what you're trying to do. But be careful about shutting us down. Because sometimes it is our gospel that keeps them alive. While the paramedics are trying to be routed to the house, the gospel will go right to the heart. I want to encourage every preacher out there whose service is shut down, whose budget is distraught because your service is shut down. I want to encourage every patient out there who's suffering. I want to encourage every family who's afraid every time you break a sweat that maybe you have contracted the virus. I want to encourage every young adult who's got a mama or a big mama or grandmama in a nursing home and you can't even get in to see her. I want to encourage everyone that has voluntarily shut themselves into what amounts to solitary confinement just because you love your family too much to take a risk. I want to encourage every CEO whose stock market is values are going down. Shareholders are running away from you. They're questioning your ability to run a company. I want to encourage everyone who lost half of your 401k at an age that you needed it the most. Boom, 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 boom.
Yeah. He's accusing the government there in Dallas. Be careful about shutting us down. Well, they're only shutting down these large groups of people to protect the public health, which they have to do. So they're not doing it to shut you down. And anyway, it was God that shut you down. He did manage to make one very profound statement there when he said that it doesn't matter who has a big church now, because everybody's got a little church. And that's true. That's true, because everybody's limited in their size of their church because they can't have large groups. But it's not the government shutting you down. It's God. It's God. It's just a sign of things that are to come. And that's the sobering thing when you think about it and you look at how life has changed for so many people just in a few days. And you have almost the whole world in a panic because they're afraid. Well, you have to have, and so some of these ministers are saying, well, don't be afraid. Well, you have to have a little bit of fear about kind of a thing. You can't live your life in a panic or be deathly afraid where you're just so stressed out that you can't function. But you have to have some sort of a fear about it, because nobody likes being sick. And so you think to yourself, yikes, you know, I don't want to have to deal with this thing. So you just need to be really careful. And I noticed that when you go out, a lot of people now, they're not coughing. Like sometimes you used to go out and you're walking down an aisle in the supermarket and somebody's coughing and they're not covering their mouth and they're just coughing. And you're thinking to yourself, oh dear. Now I notice that people aren't doing that so much. They're covering their mouth with their elbow. And they're still going out sick. But at least people are trying to be a little more sensitive to others, which is a good thing, because I know one time having elderly parents and having to be so careful with them that they didn't catch anything. And we had relatives come over one time, and they didn't tell us that they were sick and they had the flu. So they come into the house, and of course, they go to kiss my mother or, oh, brother. And did she get sick? Oh, I mean, she was really sick. And I'm like, I had to tell them, please, if you're sick, please don't come to the house. Please tell us beforehand, before you come to our house, if you have a cold. Like, they don't think anything of it. And so I try to be very careful about who's coming to the house. And I ask them, Are you sick? Have you been around anybody that's sick? Just to see what happened to my mother from just somebody giving her a hug and a kiss on the cheek. So that's why you have to be careful. And people don't think you're so nutty anymore with being careful, because everybody's telling you that now. Be careful about what you touch and stand 6 feet away from the person in back of you. So they're trying to be more diligent about keeping people from catching this thing. And let's be careful. Let's be careful, because I just pray none of us get this thing. And I don't know how long it's going to last. Nobody really knows how long. Some are saying that it could last 6 months, 12 months. You just don't know. And anyway, it's amazing to see the Bible, the things that have been predicted in the Bible for them to be coming to pass in our lifetime the way they are, and things are happening so rapidly. Let's listen to Revelation 13.
Chapter 13. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his heads the name of blasphemy. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion. And the dragon gave him his power and his seat and great authority. And I saw one of his heads as it were wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed. And all the world wondered after the beast. And they worshipped the dragon which gave power unto the beast. And they worshipped the beast, saying, Who is like unto the beast? Who is able to make war with him? And there was given unto him a mouth, speaking great things and blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, and his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints, and to overcome them. And power was given him over all kindreds, and tongues, and nations. And all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb, slain from the foundation of the world. If any man have an ear, let him hear. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast before him, and causeth the earth and them that dwell therein to worship the first beast, whose deadly wound was healed. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men, and deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666.
It's very sobering. Very sobering. The things that are yet to come. And notice that the chapter says that he who leads into captivity will be led into captivity. And it's the same for these false teachers and these false preachers out there that love to hold God's people in bondage with these financial arrangements that they hold them to. And they lead them into captivity, and they don't teach them how to manage. This is the time that the body of Christ has to be smart about their finances as far as getting out of debt. Don't buy things you can't afford. Pay your debts, work, and keep a steady job. Take care of your family, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. And God said it, so it's a true scripture. But they refuse to tell people that the way to accumulate any kind of wealth is to work hard and to save and to owe no man anything. So that's what we have to do. And there's no magic formula. You can't pull money out of the sky. God's not raining it down from heaven. He's not going to cancel your debts so that who's going to pay those debts? Who's going to pay those people that you owe money to? God doesn't just cancel debts. Like they like to say, oh, the money, the debts disappeared from my bank account, or the debts disappeared from my credit card statement. Well, how did they disappear? How did they disappear? You're still going to owe the person that money. God doesn't steal from people. So we have to do the right thing. And these people that are holding God's people in captivity, the Bible says they will be led into captivity themselves. So there's coming a day where they won't be able to buy or sell. Also, you hear in that chapter where it doesn't matter, the rich and the poor, everybody's being affected by this thing. It's not just a certain group of people, it's everybody, the rich, the poor, the famous, the leaders of world governments and leaders of large corporations. So some of them are fleeing to bunkers and hiding places, but even in the book of Revelation says there'll be nowhere to hide eventually. There'll be nowhere to hide. And it's really quite amazing to see all of this unfolding. And we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid because we know what's coming. And no matter what happens to us, if we live, we live. If we die, we die. Because we know where we're going, and I'm not afraid of death because I know where I'm going, so it doesn't scare me. But people that don't know the Lord, they're deathly afraid because they don't know what's going to happen to them. But that's at least that's our comfort, is to know that when we leave this earth, we leave it all behind. We leave the suffering behind. We leave the chaos behind, and we go to be with the Lord forever. But let's listen here to Revelation chapter 6.
Chapter 6. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were the noise of thunder, one of the four beasts saying, "Come and see." And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. And when he had opened the second seal, I heard the second beast say, "Come and see." And there went out another horse that was red, and power was given to him that sat thereon to take peace from the earth, and that they should kill one another. And there was given unto him a great sword. And when he had opened the third seal, I heard the third beast say, "Come and see." And I beheld, and lo, a black horse, and he that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, "A measure of wheat for a penny, and three measures of barley for a penny, and see thou hurt not the oil and the wine." And when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and his name that sat on him was Death, and hell followed with him. And power was given unto them over the fourth part of the earth to kill with sword, and with hunger, and with death, and with the beasts of the earth. And when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth?" And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld, when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heaven departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bondman, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, "Fall on us, and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?"
Oh, see, that's it. I mean, you see that happening now where they're escaping to the hills and the mountains, but eventually there'll be nowhere to run. There'll be nowhere to run. And just imagine that they're going to take peace from the earth. Oh, it won't be a good time to be alive. But It's a sobering thought, and for all of us to take heed, to examine ourselves and to try to live the best life that we can while we're here, and not to defraud our brothers and sisters. It's very sad because people don't realize the prosperity preachers and people like T.D. Jakes and Paula White that are living off the tithes and the offerings. They don't realize that they are really blaspheming God by lying about Jesus and saying that God told me this and God told me that, when God didn't say any of it. And it's blasphemy. It's just total blasphemy. So God still gives them space to repent. He's still merciful enough to give us this glimpse into what's going to happen in the future. So for us, it should be sobering. But anyway, here's a little glimpse of something that happened at Kenneth Copeland's place there today.
Hey, glory to God. Would you please welcome Brother Copeland?
Sir, you may be seated. For those of you that weren't here during Faith Creations, Friday night at 9:24. Now, Gloria and my usual routine is we go to bed early and listen to a couple of messages by Brother Hagin, watch the 700 Club, by, 10:30, turn the light out. But we had just listened to Brother Hagin, that first message, and suddenly the word of the Lord came to me. So I jumped up and got my notepad and wrote it down. 9:24. This disease called CODV-19 will be over much sooner than you think. Christian people all over this country praying have overwhelmed it. Give me all the glory, saith the Spirit of grace. And many, many people will come to know me through it. I'm still Lord over this nation. I'm on the throne, and faith in me changes things. Hallelujah. Boy, that's nasty on the devil, ain't it?
Oh, my God.
Glory to God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Mark and Trina, thank you so much. What a divine appointment this was when we arranged to have you come here. Terry and I gone. Now we're back. And I really wanted to be back for this. I really wanted to be a part of this. And we're just so thankful to you. Do you appreciate them?
Right.
Wow. Yeah. Wow. Go ahead and be seated.
Yeah, he says that it's going to be over, that he got a word from the Lord when, I don't know, Kenneth, you didn't get any word from the Lord because so far cancer hasn't been cured, so I don't know how you got a word from the Lord about the coronavirus when you were listening to Kenneth Hagin tapes, because Kenneth Hagin was a heretic of the first degree. That Kenneth Hagin said that he visited hell three times, and he was actually born again the third time after he went to the gates of hell. He died. He says he died, which anybody can hear there, his testimony. It's on YouTube. I think it's called I went to hell, or I visited hell, or something. Anyway, it's Kenneth Hagin's testimony about hell. He says that when he was a teenager, he had a disease, and he died twice, and twice he went to the gates of hell, but twice he was pulled up back inside his body, and he still didn't get born again. He still didn't repent, except then the third time when he supposedly died, he went down to hell. And then he got born again and came back into his body. So that can't happen. If you die, you die once and you go to hell. You don't come back. The Bible doesn't say that you get a second chance, that when you go to hell, then you come back. That's not scripture. So Kenneth Hagin was a heretic from the word go. And so there's Kenneth Copeland. I'm listening to tapes by Brother Hagin. And then I got this word at 9:24. And he writes it down so that later on when this is no longer, then he's going to say, see, I prophesied it. Well, I don't think so, Kenneth, because so far they haven't found a cure for the common cold. So I don't know who you think you are, but God will prove that you are a false prophet once again. Now, here's an event that's going to happen supposedly, I think, the end of March and up until April 5th, where Morris Cirillo is opening his Legacy Center. I never thought that this place would get built because it must have cost, and I'm only guessing because I don't really know, but they built a hotel and they built a 500-seat auditorium. They built quite a few buildings. So I would say maybe $50 million, maybe $100 million. It cost them a lot of money to build this. And I don't know where he got the money. I don't know where he got the money. I know his son fleeces every night. He's on like 3 or 4 channels with these camp meetings. They call it camp meeting, but it's nothing but scamming. It's the scam meeting is what it is. And they scam people for hours in the middle of the night for seed faith offerings and promises of blessings. If you give money, you get blessings. So maybe he borrowed the money from his son, but his son took after his father exactly in the scam evangelist ministry, so-called ministry. I won't even give it that title, but anyway, he's having a grand opening of this Legacy Center that he opened there. I wonder if the grand opening will be a big flop because people aren't going to these events. So a lot of these camp meetings and these events that have been scheduled may have to be canceled because people aren't going to show up to stand in crowds, even if it is Morris Cirillo. But anyway, here's a little promo for the thing.
You're invited to witness the miracle-working power of God as demonstrated in a powerful way. The grand opening of the Morris Cirillo Legacy International Center. This once-in-a-lifetime event starts March 31st through April 5th. Enjoy events in the 500-seat theater, the upper and lower plaza, the gardens, the welcome center, the replica of the Western Wall, the hotel and spa, restaurants, and much more. Scheduled to attend during the week are Kenneth Copeland, Marcus Lamb, Tommy Barnett, Harry Stone, Benny Hinn, and just confirmed, Joel Osteen will be the guest speaker for our night of dedication on April 2nd. Morris Cirillo has gathered the most prominent leaders of faith that may never be seen again in one place. Join Morris and Teresa Cirillo. Honor the 75th anniversary of world evangelism. This is one for the ages. Now is the time. Register now. Call now. Book now. The Legacy Center dedication, March 31st through April 5th in San Diego. You're invited to witness the miracle-working power of God.
I don't know if anybody's going to show up over there. Notice he says that they invited all the big leaders of faith. Those are not leaders of faith. Those are not faith leaders. Okay, most of those people are scammers. That's how they built their empires, is by scamming people and selling God's blessing to the highest bidder. So what's going to happen? Now, they need bodies over there. Yeah, they can preach on YouTube. Yeah, YouTube's okay. YouTube's free. You can have a church on YouTube. But that might be too lowly for most of these people, because they have to tell you that they need millions of dollars to be on television so they can preach the gospel, when they can go on YouTube for free, really, and they can preach the gospel there and get millions of viewers, and it doesn't cost anything. And they can even sell commercials on YouTube and make money. But they want you to send in those millions so that they can have jet planes. Like Mauro Cirillo, he has, I think he's got like a $60 million jet, or he did have, with gold fixtures. And I don't know how many mansions he has around the world. But anyway, it might be a flop because people probably won't show up. And these so-called faith leaders, those aren't faith leaders. Faith leaders are people that live by faith. Faith leaders, it's time for these so-called faith leaders to go away. Just go away, retire, please, go away, and let God raise up a new generation of preachers that don't beg people for money, don't say, we're going out of business, we'll never preach again if you don't send us some money. They won't be scamming people. They will be a testimony to the Lord Jesus Christ, and living by the principles of the Lord Jesus Christ, to owe no man anything but to love, and to love thy neighbor as thyself. And so let these old people that have been a bad example of Christianity to the world, let them go away, retire. God may retire them before they know it, because they need bodies. They need bodies there with checkbooks. They need bodies there with credit cards. That's what they need. And they need you to be sitting in those pews, in those seats, because they need to manipulate you. They have to spend 10 minutes, 15 minutes, 20 minutes in each sermon telling you about all the great things that are going to happen to you if you give them some money. So once the bodies are gone, once the checkbooks are gone, once the credit cards are gone, once they can't cast these hypnotic spells on people, the money is going to start drying up. Okay, they're telling people now, like T.D. Jakes was saying, download my app. Well, now they're going to tell you how to download these apps so that you can text money to them. Maybe they'll be sending carrier pigeons out to your house to collect the money, because they're going to be freaking out. It won't take long. Imagine 2 or 3 weeks without these tens of thousands of dollars coming into their coffers. Imagine what's going to happen to them. They'll be crying. They'll be sending you handkerchiefs in the mail that they've cried over and begging you for money. Wait till you see the acting that's going to take place over the next few months from these people. The so-called faith leaders, we're going to see it. Trust me. You're going to see the greatest Academy Award performances. And some of them will go away. Some of them will go away. They'll be forced into bankruptcy. Yes. Anyway, here's a strange clip about the Eastern Orthodox Church, which I thought, now this was weird, because you would think that they would stop doing things like this because of the outbreak of this coronavirus. But no, they have to have their traditions, and they have to hang on to their little fetishes. So here's a report about the Greek Catholic Church.
Body that runs the Church of Greece came out in support of the Greek health authorities and the measures that they are promoting among the Greek people. That ranges from washing hands, wiping down surfaces for elderly and more vulnerable groups to remain indoors and to remain at home. And anybody who presents COVID-19 symptoms should go and see a doctor and avoid contact with any crowds. But it's their stance on the distribution of communion, which is rubbing a lot of people the wrong way. So the way that it works in a Greek Orthodox church ceremony, as you mentioned, was the parishioners line up in front of the priest, who has a chalice filled with wine, and he gives a sip of wine to each person with a spoon.
And it is the same spoon.
It is the same spoon being used throughout the congregation. So obviously that sort of flies in the face of these warnings that are being put out there. So if we were to look at this statement that was released by the church, it says that it will not stop serving communion in this way, insisting that it can't be a cause of disease transmission. The statement then reads that faithful of all ages know that coming to receive the Holy Communion, even in the midst of a pandemic, is both a practical affirmation of self-surrender to the living God and a potent manifestation of love, Bev.
Which is blind faith in a way, and quite stunning considering measures being taken around the world, including Italy.
That's right, but Italy obviously has a much higher rate of coronavirus cases and deaths. In Greece, as you mentioned, it was 89 cases and zero deaths so far. But the Greek government has, of course, announced a number of measures to combat this, despite this such a low number. They have announced that they will be closing educational facilities ranging from daycare centres to schools and universities. Sports fans have been prevented from going to any sporting events, including the soccer, and a number of flights to and from northern Italy have been cancelled. Now, this is expected to last for at least 2 weeks, but just going back to the communion aspect of it, medical groups are urging people not to use religion as an excuse to ignore these warnings that are being put out there. And in the Greek media, they're even suggesting the possibility of legal action being taken against the Greek church. Now, there has been quite a bit of reaction to this on the streets of Athens. Here's what a few people had to say.
Having faith is good, but it's not going to save you from the virus. It's contagious. I saw the announcement and I couldn't believe it.
It's a mistake. I prefer they use disposable spoons.
I believe that faith strengthens your immune system. If you really believe, you won't catch it.
Whoever believes in Christ need not fear anything. When you take the road of Christ, everything goes well.
Some rather different opinions. So what about in Australia, the Greek Orthodox Church there, have they decided to take any precautions?
Well, I have sent a number of questions to the Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of Australia, but unfortunately they've yet to respond to them. I did, however, speak to one priest earlier today who said that this is the way that it's been done for centuries, basically. And he doesn't believe that any Orthodox Church throughout the world will be changing the way that they distribute communion. He's also unaware of any changes being discussed among the archdiocese here. Now, the other thing that needs to be taken into account here is that next month is Greek Orthodox Easter, and this is a time when church numbers obviously go up quite a bit. Even casual Greek Orthodox worshippers go to church during this time. A lot of the people in those groups are elderly. They're around each other for quite a long period of time as well in these churches. Mm-hmm. And there's also a lot of kissing and touching of icons and idols throughout the church as well. So all these things need to be brought into account. But, of course, that's still a month away. And there's no telling where the coronavirus crisis is going to go from here, not only in terms of how it will affect crowd numbers, but in terms of how it will affect cases in Greece, in Australia, and throughout the world.
Around the world. So it could change, in fact, the way that they are approaching things. Thanks for bringing.
Yeah, so this Greek Orthodox Church, they won't stop serving their communion with the same spoon. They stick the same spoon in everybody's mouth. Oh, dear. You can't make this stuff up, the ignorance of people. And then, like he said, then they have these Easter services where if people don't know what an icon is, that in some Catholic churches and these Greek Orthodox churches, they have pictures of saints. And people go and they kiss these things, and everybody kisses it. So they're trying to warn people not to go and start, like 500 people go and kiss the same thing. But they want to stand on their traditions, so they don't really care about people. I don't understand. It's crazy, isn't it, to think that these leaders of these religious organizations wouldn't take the safety of their congregants into account, but they're just going to hang on to their traditions because this is how we've done it for many, many years. So, well, if somebody gets sick, even if one of them gets sick, then probably they'll change. If anybody comes down with this thing, if you hear people that have had this coronavirus and they tell you how they suffered, how horrible it was, people that have managed to pull through, then they might change their mind. But let's hear what Perry Stone, now Perry Stone, he's supposedly into the prophetic and into end time events. But we did a program a few years ago, actually, it was about Perry Stone, which I think a lot of people don't know, that him and his father claimed that they talked to the dead person, that his father claimed that he talked to his dead friend. And Perry sat there in this interview. I think it's still on YouTube, that the interview where with Perry Stone and his father, where they talked to a dead person. So I'm like, okay, Perry Stone, you're out in my book. Plus, he's on these telethons too, pimping for dollars. But when he said that he believed that his father talked to his dead friend, I was like, no, Perry, no. That's it for Perry Stone. He's a heretic.
In this coronavirus, here's what's strange. It's like 70, 80-year-olds. You have to be careful. Go back to when Moses brought the children of Israel out of Egypt to the Promised Land. Amalek was a tribe, but the Jewish rabbis say Amalek is a spirit. Amalek rose up and went behind and started killing the old and the weak and the feeble. It's in your Bible. The old and the weak and the feeble. And tried to kill the old and weak and feeble before they could get into the Promised Land. Is anybody tracking with me? So it's almost like a spirit of Amalek that's trying to attack our older people. And let me tell you why the enemy wants to get rid of our older people. They are the ones who are established in the Bible. They are the ones who know enough about the word not to take the mark of the beast. They're the ones that wouldn't take it. The younger generation, oh, cool, put it in my hand. It'll open a door. Wow. You know, they're going to take it. They're not going to be ready unless they're taught. And so the older people in America, in the Southeast, and you know, are the conservative people, and this is attacking them to get that group out. I'm going to say it like it is, and I'm talking spiritually. I'm not talking medically. I'm not talking naturally. I see things by what's the result behind it spiritually, okay? And you get rid of all these people who resist the beast and resist the Antichrist and resist the system. Then you have a whole nother socialist, pro-communist, give me your money and I'll do what I want with it group coming up. You see them. They're out there. 35% of America's into it. And they have no respect for those older people that have made this country great.
Do you have any respect for the older people or any people that made this country great? Because you're blaming the socialists. Give me your money and we'll do what we want with it. Well, you do the same thing. You're just as bad as them, if not worse, because you do it in the name of Jesus. Give me your money or else God won't bless you and you can't buy blessings, etc. So I would take that finger that you're pointing at, that they're trying to get rid of the old people because they know the Bible. Well, some of them know the Bible. Some of them know the Bible, but there definitely is a lack of people knowing the Bible when you see these things that are going on, including the things that go on at Perry Stone's camp meetings and the camp meetings that he does with David Cirillo, which are not camp meetings, they're just places where they fleece people. So here he is blaming. He's going to blame the socialists and the communists for they want to take your money and do what they want with it. Yeah, well, they're following the example of the false church. They're following the example of the false church. So they have a game plan to follow. Anyway, here's the last clip from Bethel Church and Todd White on coronavirus.
And this is my amazing third-year team. Woo-hoo! Yes. And we want to go after Miracle Monday.
So today is Miracle Monday. We're going to be doing this every Monday, so make sure you tune in, because we want to release the kingdom of God in presence and power to all those in our Facebook communities. And so today, I want to release miracles for people who have the coronavirus. You know, there's absolutely no way that this thing can live in the presence of God. And we say that our declarations make a difference, that we have the antidote, we have the answer to this virus. Medical science doesn't, but the presence and power of God can overcome this. And so we declare today that those that have it, those who think they're going to get it, we declare no fear, and we declare healing in Jesus' name, speedy and full recovery. Yeah, so funny.
Yeah, I felt like...
I've been in here for about 3.5 hours trying to hear the Lord on what to do here because of this whole virus that has the world in fear. Look, we are still going to do our encounter nights, and tomorrow night is going to be live streamed. So we need to live stream this video because of the fact of Tarrant County issuing no more than 250 people in a gathering, and we're not going to go against the government because I love the government. But I love Jesus with everything in me. So tune in to lifestylechristianity.com/live at 6 o'clock. We are going to have live worship. It's going to be amazing. And then I'm going to get up there and I'm going to share my heart. And I want to give the body of Christ faith, an injection of faith, to be able to stand firm in the midst of this stuff. Because remember, the body of Christ isn't supposed to be tucked under a rock. It's supposed to be standing on the rock. We're not going to hide in fear, and we're going to be okay. But I want you guys to tune in. We are going to have miracles. There are going to be healings, massive. And so I want you to tune in tomorrow night at 6 o'clock to Encounter Night at lifestylechristianity.com/live. I'll see you guys there, and get ready for the Holy Spirit to crash in through video like never before, because God has armed us for such a time as this. Hey, guys, Todd White from Lifestyle Christianity. I'm actually in my prayer closet. I've been in here for about 3.5 hours trying.
He was in his prayer closet for 3.5 hours. Yes. I noticed the other people said that. Coronavirus cannot stand in the presence of God. Well, coronavirus is here. Coronavirus is here. And it's among godly people. It's among the just and the unjust. So there's no way you're going to keep coronavirus from the face of the earth, no matter how many decrees and declarations that you make. We're living in a fallen world. We're here on the earth. We have to deal with the things that are here. And of course, we trust God. What could we do besides trust God? We have to trust God. We have to believe God. But I don't know what's going to happen. I can't say beyond a shadow of a doubt that no Christian is ever going to catch the coronavirus, because they've made their faith confessions and they had Todd White pray for them, or they had the people at Bethel pray for them. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm still going to trust God no matter what. And so that's what we have to do. We have to trust God in the days that we're living in, because we just don't know. Life is full of surprises at times. It's full of surprises. And that is what we have. We have the Lord Jesus Christ as our Redeemer and our Savior and our Protector. But we're still in this world, even though we're not of this world. We're here. And we have to deal with the things that are going on around us. But let it be a warning to all of us that this thing, that it should sober us up and make us realize more than ever that the days that we're living in, the things that we're seeing happening right before our eyes, that it should just draw us closer to the Lord and cause us to preach the gospel with much more fervor, and to try to help God's people to come out of this stupor that they're in with so many false prophets and so many false teachers out there leading people astray. We have to be able to take advantage of the time that's left to try to draw people in to the kingdom of God and to tell them the truth of who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He's our Savior. He's our Redeemer. He redeemed us from the pit of hell. He redeemed our life from devastation and craziness, insanity, and all the things that we went through, drugs and alcohol, and people went through divorces, and how God took us when we were in the pit, and he redeemed us, and he crowns us with tender mercies. God is merciful. God is merciful. And he warns people. He warns people before things happen. So, like I said, let's be sober and let's be vigilant about the days and the times that we're living in. And let's be bold for the Lord to proclaim the gospel, the truth of the gospel, not what's been taught by the false prophets and the false teachers, that you're going to see that how much they really care about people in the days ahead when things start really falling apart for some of these so-called ministries. And it's going to fall apart for many of them. Maybe some of them will repent and turn to the Lord, because most of them aren't saved anyway, because you can't be saved and be a con artist Christian. And no, you can't be saved and be a con artist Christian so-called minister. It doesn't fit with being born again, which is supposed to be a new creation in Christ Jesus, and old things are supposed to pass away and all things become new. I'm not saying a Christian can't sin, because we do, but we have the Holy Spirit who convicts us of sin and brings us out of it. But if they sin continually and they continue to try to take advantage of hurting people, that's not Christianity in no way, shape, or form. So anyway, that's our program for tonight. God bless you, and thank you everybody for tuning in. All our listeners around the world, be encouraged no matter where you are, in Australia, and the United Kingdom, Canada, South Africa, France, and Germany. Be encouraged, and we pray for one another that God does protect us from this plague, because it is a plague, and it's devastating. It really is. It's really, really devastating for the people of the whole world, not just the people of the United States of America. It's not just one country, but it's our brothers and sisters around the world. So we pray for one another. And the most important thing is that if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ tonight as your Lord and Savior, give your life to him. You say, oh, I can't cope with life. I can't cope with the things that are happening. Well, Jesus Christ can save you, and he can give you peace, because he is the Prince of Peace. Nobody will be able to steal your peace, no matter what you have to go through. He can change your life and give you a brand new life. Jesus said in the third chapter of John that you must be born again. First, you're born of your mother, and then you must be born again of the Spirit of God. Romans 10:10 says that confession is made with the mouth unto salvation. So we confess our sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. Give your life to Jesus today. So no matter what's going on in the world, you'll have peace. And you'll know that no matter what happens to you, if you live or you die, that you'll have a home in heaven. You'll know where you're going after you die. God bless you.
I'm going to a city that's set on a hill. Its ruler and maker is the Lord God above. Oh, I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.
to a city, it lies four square. The gates are made of jasper, and I'll see Jesus there. I'm going to a city, and it's set on a hill. And someday I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there. I'll be in heaven, and there'll be no sorrow there.